is. Very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next hour. If we get a chance a bit later on, maybe we'll throw in a bit of American politics if you are interested. We often wonder how interested people are. Or am I in some sort of little echo chamber because I'm just interested? Of course, Joe Biden has dropped out of the presidential race, coincidentally, 2 weeks after the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. Which, when I say coincidentally, it's not really coincidence, because if you were a PR expert, you'd be saying exactly what I'm thinking. Well, this is the Democrats, of course, trying to get lots of publicity, and now we're all talking about the Democrats and not talking about Donald Trump anymore. So this is good for them. But God only knows who could replace Joe Biden. Will it be Kamala Harris? Or indeed, as some people are suggesting, could it be Michelle Obama or Hillary Clinton? We won't know, I suppose, until August. The second week in August, of course, is when the Democrats have their national conference or convention. We'll know then. Anyway, we'll get around to that a bit later on and what your thoughts on it are. If you have any thoughts, you can text or WhatsApp on 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Now, getting back to what's been happening here in Ireland over the last week, what's dominated the news is certainly the protests in Coolock. Taoiseach Simon Harris and Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald have spoken by phone over the recent protests in Coolock, according to the news. There has been a number of disturbances at the earmarked site for asylum seekers in Coolock in Dublin, for those who are not familiar. But if you're not familiar at this stage, now you must be buried under a rock. The former Crown Paints factory site is being renovated to accommodate over 500 international protection applicants. As of yet, we don't know the exact numbers, but the suggestion has been 500 to 1,000. However, the property has been the focus of huge protests, and last night, for the fifth time, the building was set on fire again. We don't know by who or how, but clearly it's not just spontaneous combustion. Somebody is setting it on fire each and every night. People are saying, by the way, how come the Gardaí aren't stopping them from doing it? Well, realistically, you know, I mean, I don't believe from what the reporters I've been talking to there, the guards are not there all the time. They're only there when there's a disturbance. On Friday night, sadly, three Gardaí were injured following the clashes with protesters. Can I point out some protesters were injured too over the last week as well? The public order incident came after a planned public gathering in Coolock passed off very peacefully on Friday evening. But a short time later, the public order unit was deployed as some members of the crowd had not dispersed. Of the three Gardaí who were injured, one was taken to hospital for treatment for facial injuries, and a man in his 20s was arrested at the scene but was later released without charge. Earlier this week, 19 other people appeared before the court charged in connection with disturbances. And a statement today, the spokesperson for the Taoiseach said, during the phone call, they had a constructive conversation, this is in relation to Mary Lou, and agreed on the need for violence and attacks on the Gardaí and Coolock site to stop and for those responsible to be brought to justice. The statement said, Mr. Harris and Ms. MacDonald also discussed important issues around community engagement. Now, of course, this comes straight after time when there was a letter which was posted up on Twitter by Mary Lou MacDonald. I'm not going to read out the whole letter, but basically in the letter she said she has been engaging with the local community, that Sinn Féin have been engaging with the local community, and obviously she wants to see an end to the violence. I'm not going to read out the whole thing. So look, the bottom line is, similar to Dundalk, which kicked off yesterday, scenes at Dundalk, similar with the Garda Special Response Unit there as well. Also Dundrum in County Tipperary, which at the moment is a lot more peaceful. Again, the population being doubled by the amount of people, asylum seekers being put in. We're at a stalemate. And I want to know what the answer is. Because the government are saying the people need to back down. The people are saying the government need to back down. Who's going to win? I don't want to suggest it's a fight, but who's going to back down first? Because this is a stalemate situation. And even in my own words, when I've said, you know, the only way to answer this and the root of this problem is government immigration policy. But that's not going to change overnight. No matter, by the way, if I get into government tomorrow, and you know my thoughts on the whole thing, I want a fair immigration policy and I want to deport people who shouldn't be here, who don't have an education, etc., etc., etc. But even if you did all that and you were in power tomorrow, you're still not going to sort this out overnight. So we're at a situation where it's a stalemate. Let me know what you think, by the way. What is the solution to the problem? What, like, take Coolock, for example. What's the solution? The government give in? Well, then you're giving in to violence, in some sense. Or you're giving in to protest. The government don't give in and the protesters continue doing what they're doing, well, then we're just going to see more and more of, you know, these protests. Most of them peaceful, by the way, can I point out. But you're going to see violence and people being arrested. And hopefully nobody else gets injured. But let me know what you think. The number is 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. One person or one woman who has been on the scene all week is Fatima Gunning, who's a journalist with Grip Media, and she joins me. Fatima, hi, how are you?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Very good.
Now, Fatima, maybe you could give us a kind of rundown. You've been there quite a lot over the last 7 days. We're into day seven now, day five of the building, well, the attempt to burn the building down again last night. I mean, it does seem to be at a stalemate, doesn't it?
Well, I was there particularly on Monday. We went up kind of around lunchtime, and at that point there was quite a large gathering. The morning of Monday, the JCB was set alight. So I do believe that up until that point, the people had been there for about 3 months, peacefully demonstrating about the establishment of this centre. Yeah, things got a little bit ugly after that point. And as you said, like, there were some violent clashes. A couple of Gardaí were injured. We also saw, you know, people who are in a posture of surrender being beaten on the ground. A lady, an elderly lady, being pepper sprayed. I'm not sure what threat she was to the public order unit, but that did happen. Yeah, I mean, as you said, like, there have been, you know, the Taoiseach has made statements, but I mean, I think the government in general is acting as though these things are happening in a vacuum. I mean, this week and last week, it's Coolock. Before that, it was a Newtown Mount Kennedy. Before that, it was Sandwich Street. It's been Clonmel in County Tipperary. And, like, who knows where the asylum circus will go next, because this is not happening in a vacuum.
I mean, the people are saying they're not giving in. The minister, or should I say, Taoiseach Simon Harris, said he's not giving in. Now, it seems that Mary Lou has said she's intervened in relation to Coolock and has spoken to local residents. And mind you, I'm not suggesting this is not a good vote-getter. It is a good vote-getter if you stand by the people to some degree. But as of yet, I haven't heard anybody come forward to suggest they're the ones who spoke to Mary Lou. So I don't know who she actually spoke to. It would be interesting to find that out. But in saying that, why do you think the government are so adamant that they're not going to listen to the people when it comes to this?
Well, I guess they think that, you know, if they give in on one occasion, that they'll suddenly, it'll embolden all the other people. Because, you know, we hear names like Coolock, Newtown and Kennedy, Sandwich Street, but there are so many other places around the country who don't make the news because, you know, the POU doesn't get deployed there. But this is a nationwide issue almost at this point, and has been for at least 2 years at this stage. And, like, when you're asking questions like, is the government going to back down, or are the people going to back down? The government are elected to represent the will of the people. You know that, Niall. I know that. It seems like they're the only ones in the room that don't know that.
But they seem to be suggesting this is a minority. That's their argument, isn't it? That it's a minority of people that have an objection. And, you know, the people who protest, generally speaking, are written off, you know, as some sort of right-wing faction or some sort of right-wing racists, that they won't allow people in their area, that their concerns are completely unfounded.
Well, I mean, if you look at headlines, you know, a lot of these people coming in, the asylum seekers, they're not vetted. We know, like, they're not criminally vetted. Like, the government will tell you they're put through Eurodac. That's to see if they've had a previous asylum claim or crossed the border illegally. Nothing got to do with whether those people have committed crimes. Obviously, not all of them have, possibly, quite likely, not even the majority of them have. But the facts are that some of them will have. And I mean, Ireland, as you know, being seen internationally as kind of a soft touch place, if I'm somebody that has something to hide, I'm probably going to go to the place who's not going to check me out. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just common sense. And I think those kind of common sense concerns are being dismissed as right-wing extremism and racism. And I mean, I've been to a lot of the protests on the ground. I've spoken to the people. A lot of them come across to me as people who would not have been previously interested in politics, and yet suddenly they're right wing. So, I mean, that doesn't really make sense to me personally.
Do you think the arguments that people are putting forward that, oh, why is it always working class areas? You know, it's kind of Coolock, it's, you know, Newtown and Kennedy, it's whatever kind of working class areas, not, you know, Fox Rock or Killiney or Dalkey or anywhere else. And we haven't really seen. Now, somebody said suggested to you there was asylum seekers put into Black Rock, but as far as I know, they were Ukrainian families. I don't think it was quite the same thing. I mean, the idea that they're just being put into working class communities, is that because working class communities are a soft target and don't vote very much, realistically, when you look at the statistics, so it's not going to affect the government?
I mean, it could be that, or it could be that the kind of people that are in power in Ireland, like, let's face it, they're all from a certain set, they're all from similar addresses. Perhaps they don't particularly have that much empathy for people who live in places like Coolock or Tallaght. Like, maybe that could be what it is. And yeah, like as you said, those people are perhaps, in my experience of going to those places, it didn't seem like they were particularly politically active, like I just said. That seems to be changing now, but obviously it's changing in circumstances where the government have seemingly decided that they're not going to listen.
I mean, you've also heard politicians suggest, Timmy Dooley, for example, Fianna Fáil suggested that people are on cocaine and unemployed who are involved, you know, the kind of violence or the protests. I mean, it's a bit of a general statement to make statements like that. I've also heard other people suggest, by the way, these are all unemployed people with nothing better to do. Yet, of course, we were treated to the names, addresses and occupations of the individuals who were charged last week under the Public Order Act. And it seems they all, surprisingly enough, actually do have jobs. So this idea that we can just write people off as that, oh, sure, they're just a bunch of wasters, unemployed people that are causing problems, that seems to be completely inaccurate.
Well, I mean, in Ireland, you know, obviously addressing any kind of concern about immigration gets you written off as a racist, but it seems like classism is A-OK. If you're going to tar people from places like Tala and Coolock as layabouts just because they're upset enough to protest outside somewhere for 3 months. I mean, the people in Newtown and Kennedy, like, I'm pretty sure most of them have jobs and they were there morning, noon and night for 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I think that's completely unfair. Like, you mentioned there that the government is trying to say that it's a minority of people who are involved in this. There's obviously a minority that are doing things like hurling rocks and in Coolock fireworks at the Gardaí. Like, that did happen. Like, obviously nobody wants to see that. But I think it's completely inaccurate to say that the people who are upset about this are in the minority. I mean, we have statistics coming out that, you know, the majority of people who are answering these questions are very upset about the government's immigration policy. So to continually dismiss it as a minority issue, I think, is demonstrably not fair.
Do you think the government are ever going to do anything about the chaotic immigration system that they have currently at the moment? Or are they just going to plunder on, continue to do the same, what they're doing every single day, expecting a different result in the morning? Will they ever address it? Because surely with an election coming up, any government will be saying to themselves, we want to get votes. It seems to be a top priority for people. In the last Red Sea poll, it was like 75% of people have concerns around the immigration policy. So surely they would want to do something about it coming up to an election. But do you think they will?
You would think so. I mean, they might do something a little bit similar than they did before the Europeans and the LEAs, where they went quiet about it. There was some token tough guy rhetoric spouted by Taoiseach Simon Harris, my fellow Greystonian. But, you'll see Minister for Justice Helen McEntee do things like, you know, adding Botswana, South Africa, like Brazil or whatever to the list of safe countries. But, and that seems like, yeah, okay, well and good. But then you see that the numbers are, I think you said yourself there that the numbers for, was it last month or this month, of asylum seekers coming in are 90% more than what they were this time last year. So obviously these kind of, forgive me for saying, token gestures are not actually having an effect on the kind of bread and butter of this issue.
Yeah, 98% higher it was last month than it was this time last year. We have the highest number, obviously. And according to Roderick O'Gorman, he predicts it'll be 27,000 this year. Now, there was a prediction of 30,000 a year. We don't know what it'll be next year. If you look through the list of countries, by the way, we're right up the top per head of population when it comes to taking in people seeking international protection, and particularly those who don't have any identification. Well, listen, Fatima, thank you very much indeed. And I appreciate you joining us to give us the kind of rundown there on what's happening there at the moment. Fatima Gunning, journalist and reporter with Grip Media. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me go to Malachy Steenson. Now, I also did give Mary Lou MacDonald the opportunity to come on. We did send her an email yesterday. I publicly actually invited her on the show on Twitter on Saturday, I think it was. And I'm sure she'd seen it because it got quite a bit of traction. She unfortunately has responded to say she's not available today. She has a packed day today and she will try and get onto the show again. Just in reference to the letter that she wrote. Malachy Steenson. Malachy, first of all, I'll go back to Mary Lou in a second. But in relation to what happened on Friday, I mean, there was generally a peaceful protest, wonderful turnout, I have to say. It was a nice evening as well, by the way, nice weather for a change. And it was a great turnout, seemed very peaceful. There was a few speeches, a few points made outside the paint factory, and then everybody marched up towards Coolock Garda Station. There's where the problem starts to start. You were stopped from getting close to the Garda Station, but maybe there was a security reason for that. And only yourself and a couple of others were allowed past that point to deliver a letter. Maybe you could tell people what was in the letter and what was the purpose of you going to the Garda Station.
Right, well, you're correct in that there was a very peaceful protest on Friday evening. There was up to 2,000 people there, I would say.
Looked like a great crowd,
yeah. We had some speeches. Yeah, and ordinary, decent people, 95% of them from Coolock and the surrounding areas. So this nonsense that's being peddled, that people are being bussed in, is, you know, should be seen for the nonsense that it is.
Yeah.
Now, we had went down to the Garda station from there. The local committee out there had already advised the Gardaí of what the intentions were. And, you know, while we were blocked from going up to the police station, that had, as far as I can, as I understand, had already been discussed with the local committee. And that was as far as the march would go.
Okay, so you were stopped kind of at Cadbury's there, just at the start of Cadbury's.
Yeah. And then myself and Glenn Moore and Patrick Quinlan, who are three elected representatives from representing the three councils in Dublin, in fact, went to hand in a letter into the Garda station on behalf of... Well, the letter was written by one of the local residents now, and it just set out her concerns. I read it out to the people, so it wasn't a letter that we wrote. It, you know, it wasn't a political letter.
It was just pointing out the concerns of the local residents in relation to people moving into the area, the unknown people.
And people would say, well, why do you do that? Well, there's a certain symbolism in handing in publicly a complaint to the Gardaí.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's what it was done for. But my view of what happened later, Niall...
Okay, so the Gardaí say that most people then went home, but unfortunately not everybody went home. Some people hung around, and they were the ones then that started trouble later on.
Well, we'll come back to who started trouble first. Most of the crowd went off home, and it was a very, as you say, it was a nice night. It was a very jovial, very friendly rally.
Yep.
And, you know, men, women and children of all ages were at it. Some people went back up to Crown Paint and were there for a while. The state
spoke at the end of the protest, when you came back out of the Garda station or speaking to the superintendent or whatever it was you were doing, you came back over, you took up the megaphone, you said, right, everybody, I have an agreement that they're going to talk to me during the week on Wednesday, I think you mentioned. Maybe I'm wrong.
We haven't agreed today. That's a meeting. And just so people understand where we fit into this, the three councillors, we're merely facilitators. We're not trying to tell people in Coolock what to do. So it would be our...
I would like to think the people of Coolock would look to, you know, one individual or a couple of individuals who are kind of involved or looking after everything, right? Because then we get some
sort of
unity.
Who are prepared to stand... Elected politicians who are prepared to stand by the people of the city and this country.
Okay, what's the plan of meeting them on Wednesday? So what's that going to achieve? And are you calling now on people between now and Wednesday until you have that conversation to kind of... you know, down tools, essentially, and just hold.
No, I'm not calling on anybody to do anything. People in Coolock will make their own decisions on how they proceed, right? I wouldn't be in any way egotistical and tell people what to do. We're there purely to support people. Now, the meeting will be about Garda tactics, by and large, because what happened on Friday night, there was no trouble till the public order unit was put on the streets. Now, they had been kept in the vans, out of sight, and that's what had been agreed. But as soon as the state saw that there was a successful protest, that it was fully, totally peaceful, and that there was up to 2,000 people there, they decided that they would change the narrative. And this is not down to local Gardaí in Coolock. This is coming from a much higher level. And, you know, when you have a police force that's... And this is, I agree with the GRA on this. When they're taking youngsters straight out of Templemore and they're putting them on a front line like that, you know, that shows how little the state apparatus in this country cares about individual guards. Now...
Okay, by the way, members of the public and members of an Garda Síochána were injured on Friday night. One member of the Garda Síochána was taken to hospital.
Hold on. There are other people who are serious, and there's one chap seriously injured during the conflict, or during the course of this by the Gardaí.
And nobody wants to see anybody injured, by the way, on any side.
No, and neither do I. And we have been at pains, Niall, to say that we want peaceful protests. And you know, we're succeeding in that. But then when the state saw that success, they put the public order unit back out.
I did see one. I did see one video that was quite disturbing. By the way, that was members of an Garda Síochána holding a line with their shields, and you know, and there was some guy videoing it, and he was going, "Who are you charging at? There's nobody actually there." And yeah. he did take a video of the road. There wasn't a sinner on the road, and so I don't know who they were actually charging. I don't know whether they were practicing or what they were doing. I couldn't tell you. It didn't seem to make a huge amount of sense. And the other thing was they did a sweep through the car park of the Omni. Where the Coolock?
Yeah, the car park opposite it.
Yeah,
leisure flex.
Yeah, the leisure. Yeah. I mean, what was that about? I don't know.
Because Niall, you've got to understand policing. And once you put on a military force, which the public order unit is, onto the streets, you change the whole dynamic of what's happening. Because that is a police, that is a unit there that is designed to hand out violence. On Monday night when we went up to the police lines, myself and the other three councillors, to try and de-escalate things, we were pepper sprayed in the face. And they said, go and, well, somebody on the media said, go to the sergeant. We were trying to speak to an inspector who's higher ranking than the sergeant. And his response was, go to the police station. Now, other people heard that, and they did go to the police station, and it kicked off down there. So, they were, in fact, obeying an instruction from an inspector.
Okay, well, hang on. Stay there for a second, Malachy, because the question I'm asking today is, how do we de-escalate the whole situation? In other words, we seem to be at a stalemate at the moment, and somebody is going to have to give in, but the government is saying they're not going to give in, and the protesters are saying they're not going to give in. Edward, please stay with me and Patrick. I'm going to come to you straight away, and I'm sorry for delaying everybody. We just had a bit of a technical problem at the start. But I want to go to Rob first, who lives 300 yards from the Crown Paint Factory, and he says he was never consulted in relation to this. Rob, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are things? Are you well?
Good. Now, you live just a few hundred yards away from the Crown Paint Factory itself in Coolock. And, this is quite frightening, I suppose, on a regular basis to see this kind of carry on outside your house.
Yeah, I mean, I've got two young children, so I'd never pretend to be kind of heavily involved with organising these protests or anything, but I definitely leave my support with, my kids are 9 and 4, and they're getting to the stage now where they go to the Leisureplex, they go to the Odeon Cinema, they play outside in the road. And obviously my big fear is, who's going to be 250, 300 yards away from them at any time. I don't know anything about them. So, it's scary. Like, you look out the window, you're watching a bit of Netflix, with the wife at night, and there's public order units circling outside their house. And
yeah.
It really is crazy.
Yeah. So who's your... were you consulted in relation to the people moving into the Crown Paint Factory? People seeking international protection, asylum seekers. Is that something you were consulted about? And if you were, do you have an issue with that?
No, we've never had one person knock at this door. Not one person's ever knocked. We've never had a leaflet left in the mailbox to say, we tried to call, will you pop us an email, will you give us a call, we'd like to chat to you about something. The first time I heard about this was when I was out walking the dog and I saw people literally sitting outside Crown Paint protesting back in, let's say, March.
Yeah.
And I had to ask them, I said, what's this about? What are you doing here? I know the premises is empty. What's this about? And I heard from them what the plan was. I've never heard anybody from any sort of government, any politicians, nobody's ever knocked on my house and said, how do you feel about this? What's your opinion? If we did it, how would you like to see it done? Are you against it? Are you forward? I've never been asked any questions, ever.
And what is your opinion on it, Rob? What is your feeling on it? I mean, now that you know that obviously, well, of course you know because you're seeing the people that are running battles every single night. But I mean, now that you know about it, what is your view of it now at this stage?
I'm not happy about it. I mean, this area, look, I love this area. I'm born and bred in this area. Bought my own home here. I've got my wife, my children here. I love this area. I went to school here. All my friends live here. But it is a disadvantaged area. Let's have it right. Like, if my 4-year-old gets sick and I ring the GP, I can't get an appointment for a week.
Yeah.
All we really have is the Plex and the cinema. We don't have a whole lot.
No, that building could have been used for something
really...
Yeah, it's underserviced.
Yeah, the building could have been used for something really good for the community. And instead, you're going to stretch it further. Now, look, we already have a home centre around the corner, the Salvation Army, which houses Irish families. Putting 500, which they say is 500, I've heard three times that number, putting that into this area, and then we know nothing about them. Like, that's terrifying. How am I supposed to let my kids play outside?
Mm. Yeah, and your concern is that you don't know who these people are, you know nothing about them.
I know nothing about them. The only time you hear about it is after something goes wrong. You know, somebody gets arrested, and then you find out, oh, by the way, this guy had 10 previous convictions. Why didn't we know that up front?
Can I ask you?
If it
was 500 Irish people, say it was another Salvation Army thing, and it was 500 Irish people, would you have the same issue, the same concern?
I wouldn't have the same concerns in the sense of we'd know about them. I would assume if there were people there who shouldn't be around children or shouldn't be near schools or shouldn't be whatever, you would like to think that would be, that would be known going in. But the area would still have the same issue. This area itself can't afford 500 extra people.
Yeah.
We're already totally stressed as it is. What's going to happen? You're going to put 500 more, 1,000 more, 1,500 more?
So what's going to happen now, Rob? You're going to be looking out your window tonight watching Netflix. And you know, I believe the factory has been set on fire five times the last five nights.
That's what it's been. The last five nights in a row has been fire trucks flaring past the house, you know.
Yeah.
Smoke up above Crown Paints. I mean, to be honest with you, last night was the first night we kind of looked at each other and we were just kind of saying, just kind of getting used to this now. This is kind of become the norm.
Well, that's not the way it should be.
Which isn't right, you know. Like, I mean, we bought this house. We love this area. The house wasn't cheap, by the way. And now I've got, you know, fires across. You know, illegals coming in. And it's just not right. You know, they can say they've engaged with us, but they haven't. And if they have, tell us who you engaged with. You must have some sort of minutes. You must have records of who you knocked into, who you spoke to. There must be some sort of email chain back and forth. Everybody's saying, oh, should we spoke to them? Who did you speak to? And nobody's ever answered that question.
Okay, well, stay there for a second, Malik and Rob. I just want to go. And Rob, thank you for contacting us. I really appreciate it because it gives us another kind of insight into it. Edward, hi.
Yes.
Hey, I'm sorry for keeping everybody. You've been listening to Malachy. You know, he's got an agreement that there's going to be conversations, but I think those conversations are more about the policing and not about, you know, stopping people, you know, going into the building. The bottom line is, Edward, that the locals in the area, right, are those who are protesting. There is no negotiation. They don't want them there, and that's it. Whereas the government are saying, well, you've no choice. That's it.
Look, we saw decent people there in one or two of the videos marching en masse. Thousands of them down the street with their kids, their wives, their girlfriends, and their boyfriends. We saw that. There was no rioters among them. But what's not being discussed here is equally important. The obscene amount of money being made from these asylum seekers as they're brought into this country. Obscene. $430 million has been handed out to the top 10 companies here who are housing them. And the Crown Paints is just the tip of the iceberg. Now, labelling people as far right or thugs, as you know, is a well-worn tactic used by the far left to demolish your argument. Actually, they're nothing but gauchos and the guard, they are poor innocent victims of these knuckle-draggers. This lot, and I'm talking about the guards, are not beyond planting some of their own and throwing a few rocks at themselves just to prove their point. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if a member of Angarda the Chicanery has been tasked with popping down to the local petrol station and filling up a 5-litre can just to keep the fires lit and feed that back to the media.
I don't believe that's true. Like, for example, Edward, there was a video going around during the week, right? And allegedly a Garda setting fire to a Garda car. That was completely untrue because I seen the first half of the video, which was conveniently edited out, which showed some young fella setting fire to it. What the guard was actually doing was he had a bottle of water in his hand. He arrived and he threw the water over and then another guard tried to extinguish the flames.
No, I saw that.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that was put out as if, oh, look at the guard setting fire to their own car. It was completely untrue.
No, I accept that. But look, the far right are at it again, and all we're trying to do is make millions for people to live in.
I agree with that narrative has been put out, but I don't think guards are setting fire to anything, you know.
No, but what they are doing, and we have seen them do in the past, is infiltrate protesters and incite riots. We saw that with Malachy Kingston.
Yeah.
Several months back, Malachy Kingston was leading a parade down the centre of Dublin, and he was steered right in front of opposition groups outstanding outside the GPO when he could have easily been redirected away from that.
Down Marlborough Street, yeah. Yeah, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, actually, I would have redirected the other protest because Malachy had already organised the first protest. It was only afterwards that people before Profit organised.
Why did Senior Gardaí do that?
Yeah.
Why did Senior Gardaí choose to redirect that particular group, innocent and peaceful group, right into the middle of a conflagration? Why did they do that? There was an agenda at work. We know why. Because they can then turn around and say, sure, we were right all along.
They're just a bunch of scumbags. Yeah.
And that's what's happening.
Okay, but Edward, well, I'm still not going to get an answer today. I don't think I am. Between you and Malachy, and Malachy's welcome to jump in at any point. What is the answer? So the people of Coolock are not going to
negotiate.
But hang on, let me ask the question again, Malachy. They're not going to negotiate because they don't want anybody there, right? The government are not going to give in. So where will it stop?
Why would it stop when they're making as much money as they are? Why would they stop? Why should they stop? This is all about money.
Yes, I am, Malachy.
Yeah, the company that owns Crown Paints already earned $38 million, I think.
He has other places. The guy that owns it has other places too that provide accommodation.
So this is a huge transfer of wealth, and the guy doesn't even live in the country. I mean, he, for tax reasons, he lives in Switzerland or somewhere. Mm. But you know, when you look at, just looking at what Paul Williams is writing in the Irish Independent this morning, another out-and-out clown who's just a mouthpiece for the state, claiming that people who are out protesting come from dysfunctional homes where their parents raised them to have no fear. I'm just reading this from him. No fear of the law and no respect for the rest of society. For them, the riots are recreational, a chance to let off steam by attacking the cops, etc., etc. What these people fail to understand is the people in Coolock, the 2,000 people who were out on Friday night, have said no. And until such time as the state accepts the will of the people, then they have no mandate.
And I understand. Yeah, but I understand that, Malachy. And Edward, I understand that. But the point I'm trying to make is the root of the problem is bad immigration policy, right? That's the root, because there's just too many people here and the government are trying to find somewhere to put them rather than have them in tents up at Mount Street, right? So, or the canals. The root of the problem is you can't have people sleeping on the streets. They're here. You can't suddenly organise 10 planes tomorrow.
That, Noel, as I keep telling you, it's quite simple. Shut the border.
Okay, so let's say the government turned around tomorrow. Let's say me and you get into power tomorrow, Malachy, and we had the will and we had the organisational skills.
Is that an indication that you're running now?
No. We'll shut the border, right? So, I mean, but realistically, we still have thousands of people here who need accommodation.
We start processing them and we start deporting them.
But that's still not going to satisfy. But that's not going to satisfy the people of Coolock tomorrow, is it?
Noel, if you go to Australia tomorrow and you haven't got the right documents or you haven't got enough money to sustain you when you're over there, you won't even get out of the airport.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be on the next plane home. That's what we need to be doing. The government itself admits that most of these people are economic migrants. They're not asylum.
The vast majority are economic migrants. We know that. And not only that, you have them arriving in an IPAS centre for a half an hour interview where they tell lies. A lot of them will tell lies in a half an hour interview. And the amount of money that's being made because you've got a barrister interviewing them, these are all junior barristers and what have you, interviewing them, making a huge amount of money per hour. There's a massive amount of money. It's in nobody's interest professionally that this is sorted out because everybody is making money out of it.
Yes, you're right there. And it's only in the interest
500
of the
from what I believe, and I could be wrong, €500 per interview they get.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me because this thing, there's no difficulty.
They all have their nose in the trough. Yeah. That is the point I'm trying to make. And you're only reinforcing that by saying what you're saying, including Malachy. This is all about feathering their nests. They're not interested in the fact that our culture has been dwindled down to nothing. They're not interested in the fact that we cannot find any accommodation for students come September because they've taken over everything in this country. They're not interested in the fact that every single hotel that was abandoned is now being repurposed to house these fellas. That's outrageous. There's one other thing that I forget to mention here in this conversation. Why are they circumventing all of our planning laws? These buildings being repurposed for housing migrants, how are they getting away with that?
Okay, well, unfortunately, what the government will tell you is emergency situation, it's emergency legislation. Edward, just stay there for a second. And Malachy, please stay with me as well. I want to go to Patrick. Hang on, Malachy. Patrick's been waiting nearly 15 minutes now. I don't want to keep people waiting too long. Malachy, please stay with me. Patrick, hi, how are you?
Hi, good, Niall. Thanks for having me on.
Good, Patrick. Well, you believe the levels of migrants are too high and the government are scrambling at this stage?
Yeah, very much so. Look, I think that they're taking on more than they can chew. There's 22,000 migrants expected to come in this year. Last year was half that figures. They're taking anything and everything they can to turn into accommodation for these people, while there's over 13,000 Irish homeless in this country. They had the same kind of willpower to do for the Irish people what they're doing for these refugees, then there'd be zero homelessness in this country.
Well, I don't know. I think that's a little bit disingenuous, because if we'd have turned around 5 years ago to the 10,000 that would have been, you know, in temporary accommodation 5 years ago, Irish homeless, you know, and said, we're going to put you in the Crown Pain Factory, that wouldn't have been acceptable.
Hold on, it's not just the Crown Pain Factory that's been used. There are hundreds and thousands of ordinary houses that are being used to house these people as well. Mm. So, you know...
No, I'm just saying it wouldn't have been acceptable. It wouldn't have been... The Crown Pain Factory wouldn't have been acceptable.
No,
but okay, but let Patrick finish the point. Sorry, Patrick, go ahead.
You'll see the amount of modular homes going in and the amount of really good hotel accommodation.
Yeah, no, I see that, yeah.
You know, like, there's plenty of that happening. I also say, look, the government, just on your point of, you know, what way is this going to end, the government do need to pull back on this. We've seen protests the past week in Limerick.
Dundalk last night, Dundrum, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And Tipperary. So the people are giving a clear message. We don't want this level of mass migration in the country. The government are fighting back and trying to put on a strong face for going forward, so people will back down from what we actually want. But that's not going to happen. The government need to rethink their mass migration policy. They need to make sure there's facilities in place for people coming in here. They need to make sure there's proper integration in place as well, because all we're hearing about is housing. We need to get housing for these people. It's like these people aren't being integrated into society either. So we need to make sure all that's in place, proper structures in place, before we take in huge amounts of migrants. And even at that, we need to be careful of what we're taking in as well. So proper checks need to be put in place before we take these people in. And we need to make sure they actually are refugees and not economic migrants.
Just to correct one line that you said there, I think most people in the country have no problem with immigration into the country. They have no problem with the amount of people that come here to work or whatever it is. I think what people have a problem with is, you know, just random people entering the country with no identification, claiming asylum falsely. I think that's what people have a big problem with.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think, you know, in migration into the country, especially people coming in on their skilled work visas from foreign countries, you know, they add an awful lot of value to the country. It's people coming in who have low levels of skills, they don't even have English to be able to communicate, and then also there's very huge cultural differences with some of these people coming into the country as well. So I think people are also worried about the actual Irish culture being diminished. We see what's happening over in Germany, in France, England, you know, it's absolute chaos over there. We have Muslim mass grooming gangs. We have riots on the streets. We've seen when Marie Le Pen over in France was doing well in the polls, what happened. The left went crazy and destroyed the streets of France. So, you know, it's very concerning, not only for...
Patrick, when you see the unrest or the civil unrest that it creates, and it has created, we've seen what happened in Leeds there over the weekend as well, and other parts of England. When you see the civil unrest this is creating, on both sides, by the way, why do you think governments, not just here in Ireland, but in Germany, as you mentioned already, in Britain and other places, in France, why do you think they're continuing to do it? Because it does, to me, this makes absolutely zero sense now at this stage.
Yeah, look, unfortunately, I think there's this globalisation ideology that's been pushed for the last number of years. I think there's an awful lot of powerful people behind it, like the likes of George Soros and even BlackRock.
I know BlackRock are always involved in everything, but is it a population problem? Because when we see the population of Europe depleting, and here in Ireland we're down to 1.5 now per family, which is way below population replacement level. If you look ahead 20 years or the next generation, we're going to have a really old generation unless we start to, you know, import people, I suppose, or encourage Irish people to have more children, one or the other. But we don't seem to be successful at encouraging people to have more children.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, your point on encouraging more people, there needs to be more policies put in place for that to actually happen. You know, for us to sustain our Irish culture, that needs to happen. This thing of, you know, we're an aging population, we need to bring in people from other countries so they can support us and support us into the future and help pay our pensions in the future when we're all too old to work. It's not going to work. It's just going to be a revolving door of we need more and more people and more and more people. So by the end of it, it's just going to be, you know, the Irish people will be by vastly minority if you keep going with that policy for a large period of time.
Yeah, but you're saying a revolving door, that suggests people are leaving the country as well. Apart from, you know, the average amount of Irish people that leave for a better life every single year, that number is not really increasing. So, you know, it's our own population is increasing. And according to the CSO, our own population by 2057, I think it is, will be nearly 8 million people, which the majority of those new members of the population will be made up of immigrants. That's the one scenario that they gave. So essentially what I'm saying is there will come a point, if we continue down this scenario, that the Irish will become a minority, or Indigenous Irish will become a minority in their own country. But that's happened in many countries around the world, unfortunately, or fortunately, as the case may be. It depends on what side of the argument you happen to be on. Hang on, because stay there with me, Patrick. Let me just go to Connie as well, because we might need ages. Connie, hi, how are you?
Well, all right, how are you? I have my phone on speaker. Will I turn it off?
No, you're okay for the moment. I can hear you fine.
Okay. Niall, well, kind of a lot of what other people were saying, you know, this is a countrywide and not just countrywide, it's a European problem. And it is part of, you asked what it was about, the Calgary Plan. I'm sure we all know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And if people don't know it, they need to research it. This is all by design, but it's not good enough. And we have to fight back. If we don't fight back now, in another 6 months, there'll be the hate speech laws. We won't be even allowed to go on the streets. And another thing I want to say that really upset me, I support Coolock, I've supported Newtown Mount Kennedy and every other place that has been invaded. I have lived abroad. I have friends that are from different countries, but Lord above, the overreach of those riot police attacking people, pepper spraying older people, and it should not be allowed. And that is not the mainstream news will never say that, of course. And thank God for the likes of you, Niall, and I listen to you at night time as well. But I mean, sweet divine Lord above, how long more is it going to go on before everybody stands? We need to unite together as a, it's not just Indigenous Irish. We have lots of multicultural people living here for many years, here down in every part of the country. And I've always embraced them, and we all do. We're a very welcoming nation. We don't need to be taken to right. Do they think we're a complete gone beans? Like, these people, if you try to go to Australia in the morning, I'll go anywhere. I had to renew my passport. It took me a while. And, you know, I wouldn't get out of this country to go on a holiday. But yet these people are they still like...
By the way, Connie, I agree with everything you've said so far. Everything that you've said, right? And people need to stand up and have a voice, right? Unfortunately, they won't get a voice in most of the media in this country. But here's the thing: even if you'd in a government that agreed tomorrow, right? Let's say suddenly Simon Harris and Helen McEntee and Roderick O'Gorman agreed with the people and said, right, as and from tomorrow, we're going to be more cautious about who we let into the country. You know, if people don't have identification, they're not going to get in. We're going to send them back home again, blah, 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 blah. That still leaves us in a situation at this very moment in time where we have thousands of people who are currently here at the moment who have, you know, that they don't want to put them into, you know, sleeping bags in the middle of the streets. So they want to find them accommodation. So what's the answer to the Coolock problem, right? Say the Coolock problem in particular right now. What is the answer to that?
Each of those people, every one of them, should be interviewed by a proper, a body of people or somebody that will find out if they're genuine. If they're genuine asylum seekers, there is no problem. Mm. They've been coming in for many years.
But they are being interviewed. But they just, a lot of them just lie during the interview.
If they're economic migrants, they can go back. This is not their first port of call. They had to come into another country, through the border or England or wherever they came from. Send them back. If they're not genuine, they don't need to be here. We have enough homeless here ourselves now. There is like 14 and about 4,000 children homeless.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one worried about, just because they're making lots of money out of this. And it's also part of, it's by design. You know, we need to house our own first. And I've lived abroad and I've always got on with other people. There's only one race that I would be worried about. And I'm not going to say it unless you, but if you push me. The one people I would be worried about, because they're, you know, some of these think they can come in here and they have a right. They have no right.
Mm.
You know, we wouldn't...
What you're saying is that a lot of people that are coming to Ireland are culturally different, is what you're saying. And it's a huge...
But that's okay. If they're going to integrate, Niall. But I mean, a lot of these people, I'm going to pick one race in particular. We know, you know, I have lived in London when I was only 19. I was horrified to see a man walking 6 foot in front of his wife. And then he might have two wives. Mm. And I've seen it recently inside in a store in Cork. And I was like... sweet.
Oh, no, I understand the point you're making, Connie. And last week, Simon Harris condemned, you know, the treatment of that poor lady in Dubai and the domestic violence that she was subjected to and the fact that she was being charged at the time and not being allowed out of the country. And he was talked about, you know, the culture and how that culture, you know, is not something that we would do here because it doesn't treat women with respect. And yet he's quite silent over the fact that we have many people in this country who are part of that culture who treat women the same way.
People are afraid to speak up, and I'm going to say it. I have, you know, we don't need any more historic statues or national sites or you know, and being torn and beaten up, and, you know, desecrated. And then they can come in here, and there is many mosques in Ireland, and that's fair enough. But I never went abroad and expected to push myself on anybody. And I know one thing I would have experienced living in one of the countries I lived in was the actual way that if you were, just because you were a woman, the way you were looked down on by these people. Yeah. And I'm going to say it, and I don't care who likes me or not, Muslim people. I'm sorry, the men. And there's a lot of people living, a lot of women here in Ireland living in fear. And there's been, and it's all been covered up. You know, if they're not vetted, if they're not genuine migrants, they don't need to be here. We're a small enough country. We're sinking as it is. We have nowhere to put them. Our health service is at breaking point. You know, what more do they want? Are they going to work? Are they going to integrate? The people that are working in our hospitals, they're amazing. There's many wonderful foreign people with different nationalities living in this country, and they're amazing. We don't need people coming here that are going to try and take over. That's what it's about.
Okay, listen, Connie, thank you very much indeed for that, and I appreciate you coming on. Let me go to Derry Ann. Sorry, I've got to move two people quickly here because I'm running out of time now. Derry Ann, yeah. Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Now, just quickly there, something that you were saying to Patrick. You were saying about the population, you know, our population falling and us needing new children. Now, does that smack of why we're letting all these single men in? Because if it is, I'd be extremely worried.
What, to repopulate?
Yes.
Well, I do believe there's a concerted effort across Europe, by the way, not just here in Ireland, to increase the population. Because Ireland is not the only country. We're one of the worst across Europe when it comes to a depleting population. Now, we don't have a depleting population, obviously, because people are coming here. But if people didn't come to Ireland, you know, if there wasn't, you know, immigration into Ireland, our population would be in serious trouble.
Well, yeah, that's fine. But the fact, and by the way, there's a lady called Leslie Murphy there left a comment, and I was appalled. And I think it really should be highlighted. There's a women's refuge behind that building where they're going to put 500 or 1,000 seats.
The Salvation Army, I think, is the Salvation Army, yeah.
Yeah, well, that in itself should give a reason. And us women, definitely. Well, I mean, I agree.
I'm wondering, when you look at the amount of people that are coming into Ireland, people seeking international protection, they're primarily men. Men somewhere between the age of 20 and 40. So if we're going to repopulate, where is the women?
You know, well, that's what I'm going to say. Shame on them. Does that not tell you, you know, my family is back wherever, and how dare they leave their... No Irish man would do that, run off and leave their family without support. So there's a huge agenda attached to this, Niall. And it's going to get a lot worse.
But getting back to Coolock just very quickly and what's happened over the last 7 days. 5 days in a row the place has been set on fire. Well, somebody set it on fire, obviously. But in relation to what's happening there, you know, I mean, it seems to be at a bit of a stalemate because the government is saying, we're not going to do anything. Yeah, we're going to motor on. This is going to happen whether you like it or not. And the people are saying, it's not going to happen at all. There's no negotiation here. We don't want it in our area. So where do we go from here now?
Well, if the government don't get off their big ego trip, which they didn't do for that women's vote thing, and they got a shock when they saw because they didn't listen. They don't listen. We are heading into serious civil unrest in this country. And, you know, you'll have us recorded on your programmes that they've been warned, they've been told, you cannot blame the people. And I live near Coolock. I pass through it, I shop in it, and the nicest people under the sun I meet there. And how dare they have to have more poverty and anything put upon them? Because deserves it.
They are. I mean, don't get me wrong, because when I was out canvassing, we actually went twice to Northside Shopping Centre because we got such a great reaction. And I have to say, we got the best reaction ever.
You were.
They were so polite, so nice. Everybody was, I hate to use the term, the salt of the earth, but they were the salt of the earth.
But they are.
Okay, okay. Thank you for that, Terry-Ann. Sorry, I'm going to run out of time. Morris, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you doing?
Yeah, oh, actually, Morris, go ahead, Morris. Yeah. Sorry, Jana, I'll be with you in a second. Sorry, I should have went to Jana first.
Sorry. I just think that both sides should sit down. I think Coolock is a waste of space now. The site is tarnished. The area is tarnished. The guard there tarnished. I sent in an image to your researcher of a guard out of control with the look on his face like a demon. He looks like an RU seaman.
I've seen the picture, somebody's head
in his back. What a horrible... Drew Harris should be shown that photograph and say, this is what your men are up to out on the streets. They've lost control and they're attacking the public. We're living in a police state now. I think if that asbestos roof has burned, 5 years down the road, there's going to be people in that area dying from cancer.
I looked it up because I know you mentioned that earlier on to the research. And I looked it up. Okay, there's different viewpoints in relation to that. You know, whether when asbestos burns or a roof. Now, according to the scientists, the particles don't go into the atmosphere when it burns. It's when it collapses. So, if in other words, if it goes on fire and then breaks or cracks, then you're in trouble.
Exactly. So I think that site is gone.
It's probably uninhabitable. It's uninhabitable probably at this stage, is it?
Exactly, yeah. It's bad, it's tarnished the area. Pull out, let the people get back with living their lives. You try to force it down their necks and they're not taking us. So bow out gracefully and tell the next people.
The government are not going to do that because they feel, and you know as well as I do, Simon Harris, Roderick O'Gorman, Helen McEntee feel that if they pull out of this now or agree to stop the process, then the protesters have won. And then what will happen is everywhere there's people going in, they believe people will do the same thing. Which, by the way, I believe people have a right to protest.
I think what they'll do is, Niall, if they don't get this under control now and come to an agreement, they'll definitely lose the next election. So it's their price. What price do they want to pay for having 500 unvetted men into an area that don't want them in the first place?
Do you think Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael give a shite about the votes they're going to get in Coolock? Because let's be clear about it, they don't get many of their votes in Coolock.
Yeah, they don't give a shit about the working class people of this country. The working class people, Ballyferma, Ballymun, Coolock, Finglas, Ballyferma, Inchicore, that's the working class backbone of this country and they don't give a shit. I'll tell you what this government is doing to the Irish people. They're telling us it's raining, but they're pissing down our backs. That's how much regard they have for the people of this country.
Thanks for that, Morris. I'm sure that's going to end up on our trailer today. Let me go to Jana. Jana, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, I'm great. How are you?
Good. You want to talk about this from a woman's safety point of view rather than, I suppose, any other point of view, because I know you talk about women's safety on a regular basis, Jana.
Yes, I agree with everything that the other callers said, and I believe that what's happening in Coolock and all the other towns and villages in Ireland is absolutely shocking, and we must remember that the civil unrest is being caused by a government that does not listen to the people or consult with the people. So the government should be bright enough to know that this is the outcome to expect, really. And the guard is standing with the people, the women and the children, not against us. And regarding women and children's safety, which is what the Natural Women's Council have focused on the last few years, is this is a really big issue regarding women's safety. And the government are deliberately putting the safety of children and women at risk. The issue is not being discussed or raised by groups and all the NGOs that profess to represent the interests of women. But the facts are undeniable. And I'd like to talk about the facts because the facts don't lie, even though the government may gaslight and intimidate people. The emerging evidence from other European countries can't be denied. Ireland is late in the game with mass immigration, but we need to look towards other countries as a learning lesson. For example, if we look at Sweden, the government themselves admitted their immigration policy is a complete disaster. And that trend continues in France, Holland, and Germany. Yeah. Sweden, only 20% of the Swedish population are foreign-born, but the ones convicted of rape are over 47%. And if we look at Germany, only 12.5% of the German population are foreign nationals, but they equate to almost 60% of gang rapes and sexual assaults on women. So this government is putting women and children's safety in serious danger.
Well, there was only an interesting story there yesterday, a headline that came up yesterday from the Washington Post, that New York, in the last, I think it was 6 months, the crimes of rape have gone up by 11% in New York. Now, some people are equating that to the amount of people that have come to or are staying in New York currently, immigration, and others are not. Because well, it would be hard to do that in New York, because New York is a melting pot of all different nationalities and cultures anyway. So I don't know how you could equate that to immigration. But however they are saying, some people are suggesting that because the population hasn't increased. So there's no reason for that statistic to rise 11% in such a short period of time. Anyway, Jala, so the point you're making is, you believe that multiculturalism has a huge role to play in that?
Well, when we look at the stats of Germany and Sweden, they have broken down their sexual assault statistics by a German or Swedish-born national versus foreign. So the data there doesn't lie. I don't believe it's a coincidence that the 12% of the foreign nationals in Germany are committing over 60% of the gang rapes. I mean, the numbers are astonishing. But what's a big concern as well for the Natural Women's Council, and should be for any woman, child or family in Ireland, is that these single men coming in, it's worth noting that 85% enter Dublin Airport without any passport or ID. They actually self-declare their name, self-declare their country of origin, and self-declare their criminal past. So Ireland is obviously becoming a haven for people to come over and buy their brand new identity and escape a criminal past. And what I would ask the Irish government and the Garda is, how many more women need to be raped or children go missing or children be stabbed before the government actually take action? We do call for Minister O'Gorman and Minister McEntee to step down from their positions. We believe they're untenable at this point regarding not only the missing children from O'Gorman's perspective and recruiting these men in 11 different languages, but McEntee has no control over our borders. We need them to step down. The only thing that's going to save this country is more people rising, a proper revolution, but also using our votes wisely in the general election to take all of these establishments.
But you're saying using your votes, you know, responsibly in the next general election. And by the way, I don't obviously condone any kind of violence. And when you talk about a rising, right, I do believe, you know, that we are heading, somebody mentioned earlier on, into quite a lot of civil unrest. And many of the countries around Europe are seeing that as well. And that's a very unfortunate fact of life at the moment. We need to cool the temperature down a little bit. But anyway, getting back to the election. But no matter what party you vote for, they all have the same policy when it comes to immigration. So what's the point?
Spot on. Absolutely. So what we need to do is vote out all of the establishment parties, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin, Labour, Social Democrats, People Before.
And I would agree with you. I would agree with you to an extent. But if everybody voted for independence, let's say, right, or for individuals who are independents with the right values and policies that they agree with, and you've got 150 whatever seats full of independents, that would be the most chaotic government you could ever have. There'd be no unity.
There'd be free thinkers who hopefully are getting in.
Yeah, but Jana, you couldn't. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I understand the frustration that people have not being able to vote for parties because they all have the same policy. But you couldn't have a government or being run by independents, because the whole idea of them being independent is they all feel slightly different about different things. So they might be all in unison when it comes to immigration, but they mightn't be all in unison when it comes to sort of other parts of legislation or other policy. So it'll be all over the place. Yeah, I mean, you have to have unity. That's why we have political parties.
There has to be some unity, and hopefully some of the independents running, such as we know Carol Nolan speaks for a lot of the issues in the Women's Council that we have, such as the mass immigration, the hate speech bill, and all of those other draconian things. So we need to, before we put the pen to the paper, make sure that any name we're ticking on that ballot box is a candidate who is against the open borders, sexualization of kids, hate speech bill, and maybe it's the nationalist parties that form the alliance. Maybe that's the answer. The same manifesto. We just need to get these.
I agree with some of the points the nationalist parties makes, but I don't agree with some of the other stuff that they say. You know what I mean? Anyway, but look, stay there, Jana, for a second, and let me go to Stephen as well. Stephen, hi, how are you?
Well, befuddled is a word I would use, given the current conversation. It seems to be always that the people like Jana and Malachy are the ones calling for revolution and, you know, basically creating the fires that are creating the mass civil unrest.
Well, people throughout history have called for, not revolution, but called for people to stand up and use their voice. There's nothing wrong with that, Stephen. People have been calling for that
for
years.
No, I'm in favour of that. I'm in favour of that, but what I'm not in favour of is setting genuine fear and paranoia amongst people.
But the temperature at the moment is not good. The temperature is extremely high.
And the temperature is being increased by these people.
No. Well, that's a really unfair thing to say, because the temperature has also been increased by government parties or government spokespersons like the Taoiseach, like Roderick O'Gorman, right,
Helen
McAtee, who are not listening to the people and are saying things like, these bunch are far right, or you have a politician on the radio or the television tonight saying they must be all unemployed and on cocaine. You've got people calling them all thugs or right wing, and we're motoring on. Mm-hmm. We don't care what they think, we're doing it anyway. That raises the temperature too. So don't just blame everybody on one side.
No, but I agree. And I wasn't going... I agree with you. The government are not doing any favours. And they are, in many ways, deliberately increasing the temperature as well, because it allows them to create their own narrative, just as much as everyone else is creating their own narrative. You know, I'm not in favour of people spreading genuine mistrust and fear and paranoia, you know, saying that these are unvetted people and...
But they are. But they are, Stephen.
Program. Listen, they are vetted.
No, they're not. By the government's own admission. They
as best as they can.
So we just stop out of that. Look at the amount of people who arrived here with no documentation. As Jana rightly pointed out, they self-identify. In other words, it's up to you whether you believe who I am or not, or where I'm from and what I've done in my past, because we've no information on them. The only information we have from Eurodac is if they've ever registered in Europe before. That's the only information we have.
Yeah, but, you know...
That's unvetted.
What do you want then? Do you want them to have to go to, Nigeria or whatever, and subpoena the criminal records of any
But if we've no records for somebody, or somebody doesn't have identification, they shouldn't be allowed into the country. Simple as that. It's illegal.
But they're here.
But it's illegal. We're allowing people to break the law. If you want to claim asylum, I'm all for people claiming asylum.
Yeah, that's what everyone is trying to do. Whether they're economic migrants or not is irrelevant. You know,
well, it's not irrelevant. It is relevant.
Somebody else mentioned on the panel today that that men wouldn't leave their women and children behind. There are men flying out of this country and into this country on a daily basis, working in other countries. You know, they're doing it. That just as much as everybody who is claiming asylum in these situations would be doing as well.
Hold on. It's a very different situation. They're claiming they're leaving the country because their life is in danger. So it's different. If you head off tomorrow and leave your boyfriend behind and go off to work in England so that you can send home some money, as people would have done years ago, that's a very different kettle of fish to somebody leaving a country because seemingly it's at war and their life is in danger. Let's be clear about it, Stephen. The minister said it himself, Roderick O'Gorman said it himself, the majority are economic migrants. They're just people looking for a better life. And by the way, I don't blame people looking for a better life, but there's a way of going about looking for a better life. Like, if I wanted to move to America, you know, because I have a dream that I'd like to retire to America, that's just my plan for the future, right? I have to go about that a legitimate way.
You have to jump through several flaming hoops to get through this in the first
absolutely.
Place.
Absolutely. So you have to do it legitimately.
And I would never say that we should never have a more robust immigration system. I've been saying that to friends and family for 10 years, for Christ's sake. You know, and I'm sure we've had several conversations around it in different panels and things like that. This whole shite about, you know, the world and its mother can come and, sure, we'll just roll out a green carpet and say, go wherever you like.
But isn't that what we're doing?
The crown is a stupid idea. It was always a stupid idea.
Yeah.
We're not doing that. We're just trying to deal with the people that we have. We have gone on the government has gone on national television and international television several times to tell people we are full and do not come.
But they're still coming. The numbers have increased, are increasing every month.
Because there are problems going on in the world that people are trying to get away from and make a better life for themselves.
I get that, by the way. And we should be part of a unity within the European Union and globally, by the way, to assist those countries to fix their own economies so they can stay where they are. Because what we're doing now is depleting these small towns and villages all over the continent of Africa in particular of young, strong men. Who should be working in the economies in those local towns, and we're destroying their economies by allowing this to happen, by the way. So that's a whole other argument.
Men who 95% are of no threat to anyone in this country.
Well, you say that, but other people argue differently. It comes down to the argument, does multiculturalism work? And with very few exceptions...
Multiculturalism, of course, works.
With very few exceptions around the world, it doesn't come without its problems.
Of course it doesn't, because people feel like, my culture is under threat. You know, and it's a little bit of a stretch to say that, you know, we're going to lose Irish dancing barons and Kayleys.
Well, according to CSO, you know, we are going to lose our, you know, somewhat of our identity. Of course we are. By 2057, they predict that a large amount of the population. Yeah. Okay. The other thing about it is, Stephen, too, is when you have a large cohort of people who are coming here, not through the visa system or the student visa system or whatever it is to work, right? And everybody welcomes that. I'm sick of the government conflating the two arguments, right? But when you have a large amount of people coming here as asylum seekers, who are most likely, many of them are unskilled workers, who will end up probably on minimum wage, a lot of them will be a drain on the state. We don't have the services at the moment for it. We just don't.
And as I've said countless times before to yourself and others, that's the failing of the Irish state that existed long before any of these problems ever fucking crept up. You know, the state has fundamentally failed a lot of people in the country.
Very quickly, Stephen, what do you think we should do about Coolock right now at this moment in time? So the government are saying no surrender, the people are saying no surrender. So what's the answer to stop the civil unrest?
I think that Coolock shouldn't be a thing. It should be rightfully demolished and rebuilt as some other, you know, apartment block or anything like that.
So the government should just give in on this occasion and just say, okay, this was a bad choice.
It was always a bad choice. I've said that to everybody as well. It was always a bad choice. I saw the plans for it, and it's a stupid idea in a derelict building on a crossroads, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the only reason. It's not for protect the women and children, shite.
Okay, we'll stay there for a second because I want to go to Madeline. Hi, Madeline, how are you?
Hi, Niall. Just a quick point there to Stephen about culture. Culture doesn't make people. People make culture. And that our culture
Don't
change.
The people that are, but the culture has changed significantly in the last 50 years. And the people that are coming in will assimilate into our culture as much as they want to and as much as they can. And we will integrate parts of them to them. Don't give me that nonsense that we're going to become a Muslim state or some other shite. I'm sorry.
They will not assimilate being brought in gangs and hundreds of thousands of men. That is not assimilation. That is not integration. That is a plantation. And what do you think young single men are going to do all day when they're not employed? Of course the women of Ireland and the children of Ireland need to be scared. Fucking rubbish to think otherwise. Absolutely rubbish. And whatever politicians said, they're
Keep spouting your paranoia. Go on.
Can I just go on, Stephen? I'm speaking. Whatever politicians said, talking about the people in Coolock, I go to all the protests. I support all these areas. I'm not a thug. I'm very well educated. I'm third level educated, but I do attend the protests because I believe in democracy. And without a democracy, we've lost our sovereignty. We've lost our country. We've watched Sweden. We've watched England. We've watched all these countries absolutely falling asunder, and we have learned nothing from it. Nothing.
Stephen, that's a fair point other people have made. When you look at the civil unrest in France over the weekend, in Britain, in Sweden, you saw that the crime statistics can't be denied, by the way, in relation to Switzerland or to Sweden, and other countries as well. Hungary, of course, won't let anybody in. Viktor Orban. But in saying that, when you look at the unrest in other countries, Germany, other places, in relation to this particular issue, Stephen, it's hard to deny it's not a problem.
It definitely is. It's an impossible thing not to deny.
Why would we continue down that road if it's a problem?
Both sides. It's a problem that is being fanned by both sides. You know, but at the end of the day, these people are coming, and these people have to be looked after.
I agree with Madeline. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, 500 men, I don't care what type of men they are, 500 men in one place in a building, and they are primarily men they're putting into these buildings, right? You know,
it's
because
men, women, and children going into it.
And can I clarify for people, the women and children that do come, which is a smaller amount of people seeking international protection, are generally put into hotels. Women and children are not put into factories or into hostile type places where there's a lot of men for their own safety. All right. So it's primarily men. So hang on. The point I'm making, Stephen, is Madeline's right. You've got 500 men or 400 men or 300 men or 200 men in Dundrum, in Tipperary or whatever it is, all sitting around all day. Most of them not work. Well, they're not working, you know, accepting a state payment, bored out of their heads. What do you think is going to happen? Nothing to do.
Well, that's just that means that if you leave any man to any to their own devices, that's all.
No. I talk about groups of men hanging around. Groups of men hanging around.
If you leave men to their own devices, then I will say men. If you leave men to their own devices, then all they're going to do is start looking to rape people.
I didn't suggest that. I didn't say that.
Everybody, I
didn't even mention the word rape. I just have a
That's what the stats in the other countries show, and it shows you, especially in the likes of Luton and Leeds, the amount of young girls, 13 and 14, all carrying babies for members of the Muslim community. You have to take note of that. But our political leaders, anyway, they're drifting towards this authoritarian fucking rules. They should be looking after us here in Ireland, because we're falling apart, the Irish. 30,000 undocumented people living here, 20 million a week spent on asylum seekers, 166 million spent on hotels. We've destroyed our tourism. But here in Ireland, the answer to your question is, what are they going to do? Yeah, knock crown on the head and bring them out to Killiney or Blackrock or Balls Bridge and just wait for the rest of the country to wake up to this and stop always putting it upon the working class. And I do read some disgusting remarks from people about working class. They do nothing and they hang around all day. They working class are called the working class because they are the pillars of this community. There would be no electricians or plumbers without the working class. So doctors and solicitors and barristers and all these people who think they're elite, none of their things in their house would work without a tradesman. So we should remember that before we knock the working class.
It is a bit unfair, Stephen. You know, when I heard, you know, politicians last week, and one politician was talking about, you know, unemployed wasters. Another one mentioned they're probably all unemployed and on cocaine. Ironically enough, the people that were arrested and their names and addresses and their occupations were printed in the paper last week, they all have jobs. So this idea that, you know, everybody's unemployed in Coolock. I saw a protest on Friday night, and I'm going to be honest with you, Stephen, it was a great turnout. It was really peaceful. There seems to be a good atmosphere. Unfortunately, it was only afterwards it turned a little bit dark when people were sent home. And most of them did go home, by the way, can I point out? There was just a few hung around, and the riot squad arrived, and that obviously started the whole thing off again. But in saying that, it was only a small amount of people. The majority were peaceful protesters. The majority of people who are concerned about their community, Stephen.
Mercifully, yes, you know, but there are people that are out to, you know, cause a bit of mayhem. And
you're always going to get that. No matter what the protest is about.
But there are also people out there deliberately agitating these people to cause problems, to get their names out there and to improve the arguments for their cause. You know, and I wholly disagree with politicians coming out and calling everyone, you know, scumbags and thugs and on drugs and things like that. That is utter, you know,
contemptible, to be honest with you.
It's contemptible is a really good word, actually.
Okay. Well, stay there. Let me just go to Noeline as well. By the way, can I point out, I we don't have a huge amount of time, but I do welcome anybody with any point of view, by the way. It just so happens that everybody seems to have the similar point of view. Noeline, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Noeline, you've been listening to Stephen there, you know, talking, and obviously other callers today. So what's the solution to the Coolock situation and all of these situations now?
Me, personally, I've been looking actually what Greece has done now since, obviously, they come arrive on the boats. So what they do is, when they arrive on the boats, they're literally taken straight onto a bus and brought up to like a facility, like not like a detention centre, but a centre where they're checked, they're medically checked, and then they have to go through the process, but they're not allowed to go anywhere near the communities, the local communities.
Mm-hmm.
So they're literally taken out from that environment until they're processed, until they're checked.
That's the ideal situation, isn't it? That's what should happen. Yeah.
That's what should happen. And government knew all about this. I was at the march on Friday, just gone. It was very, very peaceful.
It was.
But when I was walking down with family members, I could see all the, whatever they call them, riot squad or whatever they call them, all in their vans. But as we walked by, they like tipped their heads down. And we just went, hello, hello.
Mm.
And we didn't know what to do, whether to laugh or go, oh, sugar.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? Do you know what I mean? And I felt more threatened by them than the people who were actually at the march. It was people standing beside me who were at the march. And I watched the video. We went to the march, and after the speeches, we left. we walked away. And there was people standing beside me when I saw some videos afterwards getting viciously attacked by the riot squad. I thought that was horrendous to see. And I don't think, me personally, two things have happened to me in order for me that I actually went to the marches, and I'm going to continue going to the marches. I was sitting in my own house, working away. I worked three days a week at home. My house is back off the road, so you've got a driveway to come up. Now, some of the houses have, like, gates linked in between the houses.
Yep.
Like, I even see the postman going by, and he won't never look in the window. This guy walked up, and he was staring in my window. And with all due respect, he was a coloured guy. And I says, what the hell is this? Was broad daylight, until he realised he spotted me, and he disappeared. And I was like,
did you report it to the police?
I didn't. Now, I should have.
Okay, you should have. Well, it doesn't matter who it is. You should report an incident like that to the police, always.
Well, there was another thing. I was in town. I was at a concert, waiting to go into a concert. And another coloured guy, who couldn't speak a word of English, and start punching me in the arm, looking for money off me. I'm going, what do you want? I was like, in the end, I had to speak Irish to him in order to... And I had to keep raising my voice when then everybody turned around and looked at him and he walked away.
Okay, the fact that we point out that somebody is a different colour skin, I believe, should be irrelevant. I mean, if it's somebody that you're claiming is an immigrant or you're claiming is an asylum seeker, or for some reason we know that, well, then it kind of helps with the argument. But the colour of somebody's skin should be irrelevant in relation to...
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And as I say, I have immigrant friends. And they've even said, and I have people who migrated over here the correct way, they're even worried. Their communities are even worried, wondering what the government is doing. And that says a lot. That speaks volumes to me. Do you know what I mean?
So, I understand completely. And I'm sorry I'm rushing everybody now because I need to get three more in as well. And Stephen wants to stay there. So let me just go to Sophia as well. Thank you, Nolan. Sophia, hi, how are you?
I'm very well, Niall. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're welcome, Sophia. Sophia, so what's the answer to this problem? It's a kind of stalemate, isn't it? We have on the title of the screen here at the moment, government versus the people. It is a bit of a stalemate, so nobody's willing to give in.
The only thing they can do is put them into Bagot Street.
What respect? What do you mean, Bagot Street?
The hospital in Bagot Street has been sitting there empty, and it's a big enough hospital to...
Bagot Street Hospital. Yes, I'm aware of Bagot Street Hospital, yeah. And is there any other buildings you can think of? Well, they probably won't.
The building's not fit for habitation.
Well, Crown Paints Factory is hardly fit for...
There's lots of shopping centres that have space. What about shopping centres that are closed down, or their retail units are ripped out? Can they not house them in shopping centres that are empty?
Is that really the answer, Sophia, that we just keep looking for places to put people in? Or is the answer that we limit the amount of people coming here so we don't have to keep looking for places to put people in because we don't have the services?
I agree with you. They should go to a visa system and Australia, like the States, because you have to do that in the modern age. And I do remember hearing an army person saying on the radio some time ago that it was a crazy policy having the borders open, that it's attracting all sorts. And we don't know, really, have any kind of idea what their background is. We don't know what they want. Mm. You know, really, are they here to make money? That's fine. Are they here to settle in, assimilate? That's fine. But when you have them, why don't they send them down to the farms in the country to pick fruit? Mm. You know, be a woofer. Send them working. Bring them down to the farms and say to them, you have to pick strawberries now for this company and you'll get your money every week and you can just stay and do it that way until you're processed. Don't be dumping them on communities that even the police won't go down and deal with any issues, and they have to wait for hours and hours and hours for ambulances.
Mm. So, Stephen, that's not a bad idea, to give them jobs. You know what I mean? Even if it is fruit picking or whatever it is. I mean, in Australia, for example, when you go over there, you have to go down the mines. You have to either work in the mines or the farms before you're allowed to get a job.
Yeah, but that's very seasonal work. You know, what are you supposed to do with them for the rest of the time? I agree, yeah, we should let them work sooner than 5 months. Mm. And then as soon as they get refugee status, then they can work automatically, you know. But,
and if they don't get refugee status, they're deported. Simple as.
Yeah, well, that's the way the system should work. I'm sure it works that way for some people. But, you know, it's the way the system should work.
There's hardly anybody deported. There's hardly anybody deported.
This is what I said.
Yeah.
This is why I said some people, But the system, the government are incompetent. I've said that several times as well. You know, the government doesn't know.
But that's why you and me and Sophia, and I'm going to talk to Charlotte in a second, and Nolan, that's why we're all fighting. Because the government are incompetent. If the government weren't incompetent, well, then Sophia wouldn't have to ring today to come on the air to talk to us. Sorry, Sophia.
What amazes me, you know, the French know how to protest. They got rid of all that years ago, okay? And they, when they went out protesting, was because 1 year was added on to the retirement age and there was a bit mayhem. And you'd swear like it was like that in Coolock. It's not as bad as that. We don't really protest enough in Ireland anyway.
No, we don't. I think social media put an end to protesting for some reason. People feel that their protest now is on social media. They go on and say something nasty on social media and that's the end of it.
Don't let them dissipate your energy typing this shit on online where you don't end up doing anything in the end. You just end up venting your frustration onto the platform and you know, people are saying, oh yeah, we must do something about this. And if you circulate a meeting, you know, to meet up to do a protest, it's limited by algorithms. So it's not getting to a broad range of people and you're being censored and everything else. I was trying to click onto your show today, Niall, and I couldn't get a hold of it. I had to go through about a different browser. I had to search for it and it was very difficult to find you.
Okay.
So that's all algorithms that don't put you at the top of the list.
I did put up a post today in relation to the algorithms and how quickly they change. And, you know, we get, and I know because we've 80,000 followers just on Twitter, I know we get shadow banned and ghost banned on a regular basis. And that's a huge problem for us that we get. And by the way, we've already tagged Elon Musk in it. And I know Elon Musk has said that he won't look into Twitter Dublin. But I do believe there are, and I know, Stephen, you think this is a conspiracy theory, but there are forces within Twitter's headquarters, EU headquarters here in Ireland, that don't like certain people. And it's quite easy to change things and make things less visible to people. Is the point? Because,
it's extraordinary that it's all men. You know, I don't get that.
Yeah.
Why are they leaving the women at home? Why don't they fight in their own country like we did? We had to fight for our independence and everything that we have, and we work hard. Why don't they do that in their own countries?
Yeah, Stephen, I'm coming back to that argument. Stephen, you mentioned this earlier on too. I don't have a huge amount of time for any man that would abandon, allegedly leaving a war-torn country, and would abandon his wife and kids and say, listen, I'll be back for you once I get settled. You know what I mean? I don't buy that, Stephen.
There are probably men coming here from, you know, conflict countries, or, you know, queer men, or, you know, people of different religions or whatever it is, coming in to Ireland because they're under threat. There are people. You can't say there isn't. There are a lot of people coming in trying to make... Hang on, I'm still speaking.
No, Stephen, I can't let you walk away and say that. We've been under a lot of stress for 100 years. And it's still going on, the division in society, leaving infighting in the country where they left. Okay, and that was the strategy. And that is what's going on.
And that's Irish people fighting against Irish people.
This country. And we didn't go and colonize any other country. We didn't go and reap and sow and take all the minerals. We didn't do that. So why should we be burdened with that problem?
Yeah, we've never had the ability for it. Why should we be burdened?
To be fair, Sophia, we kind of did spread our... Well, hang on to both of you. The Irish are quite famous for spreading their seed around the world. We might not have colonised, but we certainly have more expats per head of population than probably any other country.
Mm. Yeah, the only positive upturn from the famine, to be quite frank, but at the end of the day, this is a very small country. We don't have the facilities or the infrastructure. They're wasting billions and billions on crappy, half-based, half-thought-out ideas. We have the bureaucrats running the politicians. They don't think any more than 4 years ahead. They don't think 20 years ahead and say, you know, they only did the spatial strategy up to 2024. And then, of course, now, which you probably don't know, but all the tenders for the toll roads are going to go up to tender, and that means they're going to have a different country or company owning them. So that's another tax that's going to be added on to it.
Another tax, most likely leaving the country, by the way, as well. Stay there, Sophia and Stephen. Let me just go to Charlotte as well.
No, hold on a second, Niall.
Yeah, sorry.
Hold on. The Greens only put more tax on everybody, and especially the poor.
I wouldn't worry too much about the Greens, Sophia. I don't think they'll be around next year. You know,
no,
I think,
they won't. They shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, I think they're
gone. What did they do? Your man Harris is saying now, in the last 8 months that he has in the government, what have they been doing for 12 years?
Okay.
They had the government, they had the power for 12 years and they did nothing. And now he's saying, oh, I can sort out everything now in the last 8 months of the tenure of this government. We need an election. He's an idiot.
Okay, well, stay there for a second, Stephen and Sophia. Charlotte, hi, how are you?
Hi, good morning or good afternoon, Niall. Thank you for letting me on.
Okay, you were involved in the protest in Dundalk yesterday, which we saw, there were scenes on Twitter.
Yeah, we were at a very successful protest in Dundalk yesterday and it really went well. LMSM actually put up an article about how well it went. Now, we did have a counter protest and it was good for the people of Dundalk to see it, because now they know how odd or what I'm not going to say anything bad about them, how funny they look, you know, the other side. Now, with it all dispersed off and as people was walking home, there was an incident in Dundalk a couple of weeks ago, you might have seen it online, where a couple of young lads were at a concert and they got off in the middle of the town. They were getting off to go to get something to eat to get their taxis home, and a group of foreign men jumped them, and one lad actually ended up with a broken leg or a broken arm. And there was boys, men on the street who tried to help them and they got arrested. It was a whole big incident. So yesterday after the protest, when everybody was dispersed and off home, most of the group ended up walking up that way to do a wee protest outside where the foreign men are living. And they came out the window and they started egging them on.
Are they living there now, or are they planning to put people in?
No, they're living there now, Niall.
Okay.
That's where they're living.
Yeah.
Now, a couple of weeks
I'm not too keen on protesting outside if they're already there. Maybe protest.
A couple of weeks ago, they actually put a banner out apologising to the people of Dundalk that were sorry about what happened, and nothing was ever done. So a couple of the lads, they went up and started shouting then back at them. And that's when the guards came in heavy-handed. And you can see a video online of a young fella at 13 years of age.
I've seen him, yeah, being dragged
across
the
street.
Yeah.
And him shouting to the guards, I'm only 13, I'm only 13.
Yeah.
Now, the guards definitely bring it on more heavy-handed, Niall.
I did see the video, similar to Dublin. Yeah, they did get a bit heavy-handed in relation to that. But the people are saying no in Dundalk as well, Charlotte, to, you know, these accommodation centres.
Niall, what it is we've a couple of hotels and loads of warehouses and everything full of them already. There's never been a protest. At the minute, they're looking to put, in inverted commas, 260 Ukrainians, which we know that's about 500 non-Ukrainians, right adjacent to a secondary school, which is an all-girls secondary school. There's a primary school from the back door, a couple of feet down the road. There's a creche around the corner, and the people of Dundalk now are sick of it. Yesterday, it was lashing rain, and I'd say about 400 or 500 people came out in the lashings of rain and stood because they're sick of it, and they want to say enough is enough. So I'd like to...
I think that's the problem now. We've got to a point, and in fairness, you know, there are hotels that... the two major hotels in Dundalk have refugees in them. There are, you know, other places or centres in Dundalk and Drogheda and all across Dublin. And just finally, because I have to wrap this up, and I appreciate everybody coming on the show today, Stephen, people have just had enough of it at this stage. You know, they've done their bit. They've agreed to everything. And it's just out of control now at this stage. And I think listening to people, Stephen... And I welcomed anybody on the show, by the way. They're always welcome to come on and give us the counter-argument. I'm quite happy for that to happen, because that's what debate is all about. But at this point now, I think the vast majority of people believe the government have lost control of this situation. And it's only a matter of time, Stephen, and I don't want it to happen, where somebody gets seriously hurt, killed, or whatever at one of these protests. Be it a guard or a protester.
I agree. It'll be a guard, a protester, a general public. It'll be a politician. It'll be whoever. They have lost control of the system, and we should have built our registration centres, our holding centres, or whatever, you know. But maybe we'll do what the Greeks do and imprison them on an island. You know, I believe Shirkin is lovely this time of year.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
But you know, but the government has. But I still don't hold with all of this fear mongering that there are threats to women, children, our jobs, our culture, our way of life. It's utter shite.
I don't agree with you, Stephen. I disagree with you. And culturally, I believe there are people in this world who culturally think differently to the way we do. And by the way, that's fine. People can come from different cultures and they can assimilate into our culture. But you come to our country and you assimilate to our culture or you get lost. That's it.
Yeah, but again, the point between assimilation and integration. Integration is a two-way process. Assimilate means that you give up, you know, your religion, your culture, your
opinion. I don't want people living in this country thinking women are second-class citizens. You know what I mean?
You better get rid of a whole lot of men and women from this country as well.
Oh, no. By the way, there are laws around treating women as second-class citizens or domestic violence or gender-based violence or whatever it happens to be. But I don't want, to be encouraging.
And look how well that's
going. Yeah, but, well, by the way, we condemn that on a regular basis. And I'm happy to see we condemn it. And we should condemn it even more.
And I've heard
Yeah. But I don't want a situation where we accept that there's a culture that where it's acceptable to treat women badly. I don't believe that.
So we deport every Muslim in the country?
Not every Muslim believes that, by the way. I know Muslims, by the way, and they don't treat women like that. You know,
fine.
But I do know Muslims who do treat women like that.
Yeah, every Orthodox religion person then. We'll deport them or imprison them.
Well, people shouldn't be allowed to hold those types of, not hold those types of views. You're entitled to hold whatever your views like, but you should not be allowed to treat women in such a way. Anyway, listen, Steve, we could go on. That's a whole probably separate argument to some degree. We'll come back to another day. Sophia, Charlotte, Stephen, thank you very much indeed to everybody who got involved in the show. Now, I've got to play a couple of WhatsApps here. Oh, Jesus, there's loads of them. Let me see. We'll play one or two of these if we can. Hang on.
Afternoon, Lyle. Lyle, there's a bigger problem. Where we are. There's a hotel full of them down here, and every morning, three bus loads pull away from there, and they all head off to work. Now, that's great that they're working now, but are they paying proper taxes? And why are they living rent free? And food, it's costing them nothing. They're getting fed and they're living there for free. So they're either working for less than an Irishman would be working for, or there's something dodgy going on. I mean, I work and I have to pay all my bills, I have to pay my rent, but yet they're able to work. And live rent free.
Hey Noel, how are you getting on today? Yeah, look, I think at this stage it's safe to say it's population replacement, didn't it? This government have made deals with people outside of this country to flood our country with foreign nationals, come hell or high water. It's going to be hell and high water going forward. What the guards done in this country over the weekend was an absolute disgrace. What's happening in the Dundalk, Coolock, everywhere all over the country is a disgrace. But I think it's by being pushed by outside influences and our spineless, snivelling little gits in power are just bending to their will. Replacement politics now, we're being replaced. The
visa system. Delusional Stephen again, obviously again in the minority. Cheers, Niall.
Thank you, Neil, Jonathan, Jason, for your messages. Don't forget you can send messages in at any stage at 085-122-55. It is a failing on the government and I hope nothing goes wrong, but it is only a matter of time. Before somebody dies or somebody gets seriously injured, be it a guard or a protester. And if that happens, by the way, I don't blame the guards or the protesters. I blame the government. Because the decision is squarely in their hands right now at the moment to sort this out and engage with people. The decision is squarely in their hands at the moment to abide by the will of the people, which is to stop letting people into this country when we have no idea who they are. It's a ridiculous situation. It should have never come to this, ever. The job of any government and people you vote for and you elect is to protect the borders of this country and protect the citizens. It is paramount. It is the number one thing. You protect your borders and protect your citizens. That is your job. In every single way, you protect them in whatever way you can. We have abandoned that idea completely. Anybody can come to Ireland. You could be a mass murderer and walk into Ireland tomorrow. All you got to do is go down to the IPAS centre and lie. They don't know who you are. They've no way of finding out who you are. You can lie. As somebody said earlier on, you can self-declare who you are. You can give yourself a new name, a new identification. Should they know nothing about you? They've no way of checking. You're never going to be asked to leave, it seems, because nobody really gets deported. And the process will go on so long that eventually you'll ask for permission to remain to the Minister for Justice, and which she will most likely grant. Because you can say, oh, I met a woman or I've got somebody pregnant or whatever it happens to be. It's a mess. The system is a mess. For all we know, the vast majority of people are probably okay people, but there could be murderers, rapists, I don't know, fraudsters. There's all sorts of people living in our society now that shouldn't be living here. They should have never got into the country in the first place. But we have a government who have become reckless when it comes to our immigration policy. I've been saying it for months. I said it all the way through my campaign. It's a reckless immigration policy. Any party, by the way, should capitalise on this. If I was in government, or if I was a government party, if I was Sinn Féin, for example, right now I'd capitalise on this. Because Sinn Féin has to know that the people are right on this occasion. So why won't they stand with the people? Why? Why won't Sinn Féin stand with the people? Mary Lou is an opportunity. You've got an election coming up. People want change. They went to Sinn Féin the last time for change, but they won't go to you for change now unless you're willing to stand with the people. Stand with the people. And nobody says that's racist, by the way, in saying protect our people, protect our country, and engage with the people. That's all we're asking people to do. That's all they're asking Sinn Féin to do. But they won't do it. For some reason, they just won't do it. Because they're all afraid. They're afraid of NGOs. They're trying to keep everybody happy. And it doesn't work. You can't keep everybody happy all the time. But the one people you should be keeping happy are the citizens of this country. Because they're the important ones. It doesn't matter about everybody else. It doesn't matter about Gaza. It doesn't matter about Ukraine. It doesn't matter about people in South Africa, or in Africa, not South Africa, in Africa, who might be coming here from conflict or whatever it is. All that doesn't matter. What matters most importantly is the people of Ireland, the citizens of this country. When you have that sorted out and they're all happy, you can worry about everywhere else. I'll tell you one thing. I spent 8 weeks on the campaign trail and I was talking to people all the time. And I can tell you one thing nobody ever mentioned to me was, I hope the government recognises the state of Palestine. And by the way, I couldn't care less whether they do recognise the state of Palestine. I don't think it serves any purpose. I don't think it's going to save one single life. But nobody said that to me. Oh God, I wish the government would recognise the state of Palestine. Nobody actually said that to me when I was campaigning. Nobody. They said they're worried about immigration, the cost of living, how their kids not being able to buy a house, the healthcare system. They're worried about things that affect their lives. They're not worried about everything else. Mind you, if you were to listen to some of the socialist parties, you think that's all we worried about, because that's all they bloody worry about. They worry about the rest of the world. They don't worry about this country. They worry about everybody else. Your job as a politician in this country is to worry about the people of this country. When you're finished worrying about them and you have them sorted out, then you can worry about the rest of the world if you want to. Anyway, listen, thank you very much indeed to everybody who came on the air today. We like to give you an open platform where you can say what you want. You won't get it anywhere else, but it costs us money to do this. So please support us. Don't pretend to support us, by the way. You know, because I know there's people listening right now. Every day, one day, we 22,000 people listen live. We've no advertising. We make no money out of that 22,000 that one particular day that was listening to us live. Some days it's 3,000, some days it's 2,000. And then we have 2,000 or 3,000 on Facebook, 2,000 or 3,000 on YouTube, 2,000 or 3,000. We're going to have it on TikTok now soon. All listening to us in different places for free. We don't charge you. If you all gave us even a euro, we could manage to do this and actually make a wage out of it. But we don't. We barely get to pay the bills. Actually, most months we have to put money to it. So please help us to continue to do this. If you like the podcast, you're listening to the podcast, you're taking part in the podcast, and you do like it and you listen to it every day, just throw us €5. Go onto our website, nileboylan.com. I'm going to be straight with you. Don't be stingy. You know, we're not asking for much because we're providing a service. We don't run advertising because the reason we don't run advertising is we don't want an advertiser to tell us what we can and can't put on the show, because that's what happens. I know, I've worked in media for years. So we're purposely not, there's no ads up there. Look, nothing. So you're watching this for free now. You're getting it for free. So we don't make any money out of you watching this. So somebody said there recently, you must be making a fortune on your podcast, Boylan. No, I have a nighttime job, shall I say. I work on radio. That's my salary. There's three people working the show. We all have full-time jobs as well. It's difficult to do, you know, to juggle this with a full-time job. And the only money we get is enough just to pay the bills. There's lights there on. There's cameras. There's streaming costs. There's uploading costs. Hosting costs. You've no idea. Internet costs, because we've got really good internet to make sure we can stream it everywhere. Good upload speeds, all that kind of stuff. It costs a lot of money. And only, as you know, we had a huge technical problem last week with Zoom. We ended up having to buy a new desk. Cost a fortune. Need €2,500. We didn't have it, but we had to buy it. Otherwise, we would have had no podcast the next day. So please do support us. Please help us. Go to our website, nileboylan.com. Just even a donation. You can go and just donate there if you want to. You can donate or subscribe. If you click on the menu, you'll see donate or subscribe. Subscribe is $5.99 a month. It's just like buying us a beer between the three of us once a month. Or you can buy us a cup of coffee. So please do subscribe. Nobody else gives you this type of platform. Nobody. Others will claim to do it, but they won't. We're the only ones who give you this type of platform. And we do it professionally as well. So please do support us. Go to the website, nileboylan.com. We should talk to you again tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.